Concord Talk。Aloha everyone. Thank you very much for listening to this program. Concord Talk is a program where people in the Concord faith talk about the various topics. The thought and opinion we share on this program may differ from yours, but we hope that you will enjoy and learn something new. Perhaps we will learn something new that may affect our thoughts, behaviors, and actions for the better. Our different backgrounds, religions, thoughts, and culture provides a diversity that strengthens our community. Just like biodiversity is essential for a healthy planet Earth. I am Koichi Konko from the Konko Mission of Honolulu. Join me are Amy and Edna. How are you doing today?
Hello. Good.
Hi, everybody.
So today's topic is the turning points. I know we all experience turning points somehow and look back our life and we can find out many turning points and actually that help us to understand which direction we're going. And we might see our future, the forward, for we can see the future because the turning point show us the direction. So I'd like to hear your turning points. These are major turning points, maybe minor turning points. It may be interesting, maybe a happy event, maybe sad events, but definitely that help us to grow up so that we can change the direction somehow. Anybody want to start? Start first? Who going first?
Did you want to go first, Amy?
I don't know if you'd call it a turning point. I don't know. In terms of what are we talking about turning point? I'm assuming in terms of religion or just in life general?
Any kind.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I was kind of thinking about it briefly before coming on. Turning point, I would say one major turning point in my life would be when I decided, or maybe it was decided for me, that I would go to Japan and live in Japan and teach English conversation to middle school and high school kids at Konko Gakuen in Okayama. I would say those 3 years that I spent in Japan was a major turning point. I had just graduated college and I was working at the hotel, Radisson Prince Kuhio, which is no longer there. It's a Hilton now, but I was a concierge there and I thought that would be my career. And I had just started working. I was working maybe, I don't think it was even a half a year I was there. And my mom calls me suddenly and tells me, you're going to go to Japan and you're going to go and teach English. I had no idea what she was talking about. I was like, you're crazy. I just graduated college. I just got this job. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going to go to Japan and up and leave everything. But she said, no, you're going to go and you're going to try it out for, just go for 1 year. Just try it. And if you don't like it, then you can come back home. And I don't know. I just decided to go. I felt like I had no choice. I guess I did, but, I think ultimately I decided why not. I was still young, kind of stupid. So I thought, okay, fine. I'll go to Japan. Teaching is kind of something that I was a little bit interested in. So I went, had no clue what to expect. No clue how to teach anything. Absolutely no clue what I was supposed to do. But I went and it turned out to be the best 3 years of my life. Really showed me what I was capable of, that I could actually handle situations on my own. I wasn't purely on my own. I had Koichi Sensei, your mom's help a lot in finding a place to live. And she helped me set up my bank account and everything in Japan. And I had a lot of help setting everything up. And then it was a lot of help from the teachers that I worked with. I made some really good friends. I think it helped me that was, I think, my first time in Konko town. I don't really remember. I may have gone when I was in second grade to when I visited Japan the one other time, but I don't remember going to Konko. I don't think we went to Konko, but that was my first time at the headquarters, and to be able to live just a couple of blocks away from headquarters was also very special. I got a lot of opportunities to teach kids, of course, who I still keep in contact with now, made a lot of lifelong friends, even got to interview Konko-sama, things like that, where it was very eye-opening for me, and it was a great experience. And then coming back after that, back to Hawaii, I realized I didn't want a career in hotel. I didn't want to be dealing with tourists. And so it opened up another option for me, and I ended up at the consulate. So yeah, I would say that was a turn.
Interesting. Only 3 years, but affect, it's a big impact on you. 3 years sound like a high school student time or junior high, like 2-3 years, and that affect into life and friends too, yeah? High school friends, mm-hmm. Like your lifetime friends.
Right. Yeah, so, I mean, it's really, I guess I did make a difference, or I made connections with a lot of the kids, because if they're still willing to, as adults, kind of keep in contact with me, I've had a couple, they were willing, you know, I've had a few students, former students of mine, that have even come to Hawaii to visit, things like that. It's really very touching. Like I think I really did feel like I made a difference. That was
great. Good. How about Anna Sensei?
I thought it was a choice. I didn't know it. Your mom told you that.
Yeah, no, it was actually Amagi's Oya Sensei that called my mom.
Really?
Yeah. So the principal at that school was looking for an English conversation teacher, and he didn't know where else to turn, so he called Amagi no Oya Sensei, and Amagi no Oya Sensei called my mom, and my mom ordered me to go.
Amazing. So you stayed 3 years. So was it Saki no Oya Sensei or like Ima no Oya Sensei?
Ima no Oya Sensei. Ima.
Oh. Yeah. So your students still keep in contact with you. That's amazing.
Yeah, they do. It's very heartwarming. A lot of them have their own kids now, and they're starting their own families. And
wow.
It's nice because I guess they felt like that's, while us teaching them is when they picked up the love for English or the interest in English more. And so it's actually, some of the kids weren't all that interested in English before that. But yet they, I guess, made a connection. We made a connection. And so they associate English with being something that's not completely foreign to them, and they can use.
Thank you for sharing. 貴重な話. Really precious experience, I think. For me, turning point, I don't really have like a turning point. You know, like some people have like their great awakening. But for me, I think it was good that I went to the Konko Church of Amagi right after graduating from high school. So my mom says, go and get your spiritual training done while your brain is still soft. So once we grow older, once we go to college and get a degree, then we're going to be so stuck in our own way that we don't try to focus on spirituality anymore. So she just told all three of us kids, me and my two brothers, just to go to the Konko Church of Amagi, located in Fukuoka, Japan, for 3 years for my brothers and just 2 years for me. And, you know, no one disagreed to that. Everyone was excited to go. First of all, because David, my oldest brother, he came back a changed person. And that really made us look forward to going to Japan. I didn't think that someone could change that much. And even his friends, people that knew David in Hawaii, really saw a difference in him when he came back after his 3 years. So Rodney went right after graduating high school, and me, I was really excited to go to Japan. So for me, I stayed 2 years, and the Konko Church of Amagi, I stayed for about 1 year. And the other year, I stayed at the Konko Kyo headquarters seminary, the Konko Kyo Gakuin Seminary, for the whole year. And that was a really priceless experience for me. And because I knew this will never this opportunity will never come to me again. This is like a once in a lifetime opportunity. I decided to write like a journal, like a diary. I couldn't do it every single day, but I was able to do for at least once a week. And sometimes like daily, I would be able to write diary entry. And I kept all those, you know, I have like, it's like this thick. And I'm glad I kept all those because I had forgotten a lot of things that happened in the past. And while I was in Japan, amazing things that would happen, like miracles. And then I'll read back from time to time on those stories and I'll feel re-inspired and believe that, wow, Kami-sama really, you know, gave me a lot of blessings for me to have come this far. And I'm really glad. So really, Almighty Church has pretty much been my turning point for me. I was a mute. Like, I didn't talk when I was in school. I was so quiet that even on my report cards, the teacher would write in a memo and said, can I hear Edna's voice? I don't know how she sounds like. That's how quiet I was. Like, even when the teachers asked me questions, I just nodded or shook my head and I really didn't speak. I was mute. I was so extremely shy. I didn't really have many friends. And intermediate and high school were the worst for me. I didn't like it. I got bullied and I just really didn't like school. So I just couldn't wait to hurry up and graduate so I can go to Japan. And really, the Amagi Church, I think changed me a lot. I was able to see myself more for who I am and I was able to open up more, definitely. People were so kind to me. They taught me many lessons and I learned a lot and I learned to really trust in Kami-sama. So having that foundation built while I was still in my 18, 19, 20 is so priceless for me. And with that, I've been able to receive so many divine blessings. So I always try to encourage people, you know, if you ever want to try to go to Amagi Church, I highly recommend it. Go as far as becoming a sensei, a minister, and dedicate yourself to Kami-sama with maybe like a part-time on the side. But that's been really my turning point. I don't know what kind of human being I would have been if I didn't go to Japan. I really don't know. Mm. I'm kind of scared what kind of person I would have become if I didn't go to.
That's amazing.
Yeah. You want to go to Amagi, Amy?
No, thank you.
It's so fun.
Yeah, you know, I don't doubt that that was a wonderful experience for people who did go. Mm-hmm. I think that's something to definitely do when you're younger. Mm-hmm. I really don't think I would survive if I went now. Not with my, it's like your mom said, Edna, you go while your brain is still soft. Yeah. Mine is rock hard. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't believe.
Never too late, you know.
Yeah, not right now. Not right now. But yeah. It's hard to believe that you were so quiet. Don't take that the wrong way.
Oh, mute.
I remember, when first time I saw you, I know you smiling. I remember my image. You were smiling, but I don't remember your voice. And even Rodney Sensei was very quiet.
Yeah.
It doesn't have too much face expression. Mm-hmm. He talked, but that's interesting.
Yeah, you're right. All three of us really didn't talk.
Mm.
Really, really quiet. Like, it was almost creepy how quiet we were. I think the teachers are pretty creeped out how quiet we were, you know? You see, the quiet ones are the scary ones. But, we were really quiet. But Amagi, after going to Amagi Church, I really became like super loud and noisy. And I laughed really loud. And one thing really
did. You found yourself.
You broke my shell, you know, my oyster. Mm.
I remember I was pretty shy too. I talk, but I cannot talk in the public. I'm so shy and ashamed and flash. But I went to, after I got a credit to become a teacher, we go to a kyoiku jishu, what you call the intern, to a school you can choose. And I chose my school, I graduated, and I was able to talk naturally, I mean, talk to students naturally, because I live in Amagi Church and help the youth groups, and I was able to, how can I say, I experienced how to deal with students. I was a college student, kind of close ages, and I was talked to the student at school, and the school student is surprised. Usually, you come as an intern, you should be shy, you should be nervous, but I wasn't nervous. I was able to talk naturally, so they shocked, and my experience at the Magi Church helped me to go naturally, and I think I was shy, but after any experience at the Magi, I think I get over my shyness.
Yeah, I wonder why a Magi has that power, you know, to get you out of your comfort zone. Yeah, they surely work their magic on us. I think it's the strong prayers, you know. Now that I think of it, Oya Sensei and Oya Okusama must have been really, you know, worried for accepting a 18-year-old girl into their church for a couple of years, not knowing what's going to happen to this girl from Hawaii. You know, they must have felt some responsibility on their shoulders. But more than that, I really think they prayed a lot for me. And when my 2 years was done, I remember Oya Okusama telling my mom. Oya Okusama is the third Oya Sensei, the third headmaster's wife. She told my mom, "I'm thankful that we were able to return Edna back to you safely." So, Anthony, yeah, I didn't really think of anything that of that message at that time. But now that I think of that message at this age, I really think that, you know, it really must have been like a weight off the shoulders for them to be able to, you know, return me safely to Hawaii without any crazy incidents happening. So, Anthony. Kansha, I really appreciate them even more and more every year.
Were you there when Alvin was there? You were, right?
Yes, Alvin was there first.
Alvin was there first.
A few months first. And then I, yeah. So he was a really good buddy.
That's surprising. No, I think I was going to say, you know, like, I think for him, he was relieved that you were there. You guys probably helped each other out. I don't really know. I never really talked to him about it, but
yeah, definitely helped me out.
Yeah, I know from what my uncle in Futsukaichi used to tell me when he would go and check on Alvin. You know, he was like, "Oh, you know, Edna's there too, so you know, they're okay. You know, they're okay. They're doing okay."
Yeah, I think Amagi Church was and being in Gakuin was really tolerable and a lot more fun because Alvin was there. Yeah. He made us laugh so much, everybody. Oh, yeah. 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 Having him in Gakuin too was really fun. I wish he stayed a whole year. I think he only stayed a few years. A few months. Yeah. He stayed a whole year. But if he stayed a whole year, I'm sure he would have really enjoyed it too. Yeah. That's fun.
So Alvin is a brother. Yeah. The Amy's brother.
Younger. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so Alvin also went into Gakuin. He went to Amagi right out of high school. Yeah.
What made him die?
I have no idea. He shocked everybody when he told Konko-sama that. I think it was when Konko-sama, if I remember correctly, I think it was when Konko-sama came to Hawaii. And he, I don't know what possessed him to tell Konko-sama that he's going to become a minister. Shocked everybody.
He shaved his head. Yes, he became very almost like a skinhead. Show his determination.
Yeah, back then it was by choice. Now it's not so much by choice. It's more necessity. He has a lot less hair now. So.
To me, while attending the college, I came to Hawaii for 9 months. That was pretty interesting experience for me too. I kind of ran away from my college life. I wasn't happy or kind of too tired. I asked the headmaster of Honolulu Church and the Magi Church, and I'd like to come to Hawaii to study English, but it was an excuse. I just want to run away, basically. And sorry for Honolulu Church member, the sensei. And I was 20 years old. I thought I was an okay person, but when I read to the people concerned the Honolulu Church, they're really concerned about me. And when I came back as a minister, they really concerned. That guy come for our church? Oh, no. Really concerned. I read the writing. So I'm sorry for them, but I hope they're happy that I'm here. I never know. I came to Hawaii to do Goyo, that served to this Honolulu Church when I was young, at 20 years old. I should study harder at the time when my brain was soft.
Right, exactly. I kind of vaguely remember, I think the first time I met you was probably when you were here. It was probably some bigger church service or something. And I honestly don't, to be quite honest, I didn't have a good first impression.
Really?
So I was, yeah, to be quite honest, it was, wow, that's Koichi de Kanji. But, so when you came back as headman or to help at Honolulu Church and eventually become the head minister, you know, I think I realized myself too that was a lot of years ago. That was, you know, you're definitely not the same person. I wasn't the same person back then. So I think there was a lot of maturity that happened in that time between your first time being in Hawaii and when you came back. So I think that's a huge difference. I think I know that's what a lot of people, I think a lot of people share that opinion. You're not, definitely not the same young 20-year-old guy that first came.
I remember Koichi Sensei had ear pierced, right?
Did you? Yeah. Only two piercings on the left.
Two piercings on the left, yeah. So I thought, oh, this guy is a rebel.
Yes. What do you mean, rebel?
I remember that.
He is a rebel. That's the first impression I had of you, Koichi Sensei, when you came at that age.
Yeah, a rebel is someone who goes against the normal.
Oh, I see.
Has their own way. Makes their own way.
Interesting. After 9 months, I went back to Japan, and I passed my peers in Hawaii, and I had a bear. I had a color contacts. I didn't dye my hair, but colored my hair, and I went back to Magi, and I saw my grandfather, and he told me first. I remember that shave your beard.
Oh, beard.
Shave your beard.
And
beard.
Beard. Shave.
Yeah. beard. Come on, Jen.
Beard.
Beard.
Right. Yeah. He get it.
Yeah, he get. So my grandfather told me that shave your beard. Mm-hmm. He never mentioned about pierce and the color contact, anything, just beard. Beard. That was interesting to me.
What are your turning point, Koichi Sensei?
Biggest turning point is my brother's illness, definitely. That's when he was 22 years old. He doctor diagnosed him having rare cancer. And he was 22 years old, and the doctor expected his lifespan is like couple months, maybe half a year. So that was a big turning point for me. I never thought I want to be a minister, konkoku minister. I want to be a teacher, but because of that incident, I decided to go to a seminary. Not to, I don't know what to do at the time, but only I can do is to go to seminary. So that make my parents happy, my ancestors happy, maybe Kami-sama, Mitama-sama happy. Hopefully that helped something for him. So I think that's, so I didn't have any confidence believing Konko Kyo, Konko faith, or being a religious person. I never pray. I never try to learn Konko faith, I think. And I actually learned at the seminary. I read a lot of books and I learned. So I have a confidence with Konko faith right now. And that's a turning point. And that was I could say that was a blessing for our family, even though at the moment we very confused, sad, shocked that my younger brother got a very serious illness, cancer. My father and brother traveled to Tottori Sakyu, the dean
sand dunes.
Sand dunes.
Dunes.
Dune. Mm-hmm. And while going, they talk. He should go to a surgery or not, because it's a rare cancer. The doctor doesn't know what's going to happen, and even that surgery helps or not. So they have to decide. Doctor doesn't know, they don't know, and they decide to have a surgery. I think that helps him. And that's the process, observing how my brother handled the situation, my parents handled the situation. I think that's really priceless experience for me, that how much they concerned about my brother, but also believe and pray to Kami-sama, believing Kami-sama, praying Kami-sama. And when look back, because my mother went to travel with her friends after my brother diagnosed having cancer. Usually you don't, yeah, your parents, your son got sick and you don't want to go to a tribal. But I shocked my mother went. I think already decided before that happened, they planned, but my mother decided to go. I think because they live up to Kami-sama, everything, even everything happened, just accept. Maybe she was ready to accept everything. I think that's a huge impact on my life. And of course, I became a minister, so I totally changed my future. I want to be a school teacher. And I was taking classes for that, like some credits. But I decided not to be a teacher, but minister.
So your brother was supposed to pass away in half a year. So does that mean he spontaneously recovered? Or like he must have, I mean, he has a family now, so it's amazing. So.
The doctor didn't know what's going to happen after the surgery too, but mm-hmm. he was okay, so discharged. I think he hospitalized beginning of December or end of December, and had surgery. And I think he got a couple of surgeries, and then he discharged beginning of February.
Mm-hmm.
So he has, a couple of years ago, doctor found he had a cancer. Both lungs, one from the lung and the one from the rare cancer I just mentioned, about 20 years ago, yeah, it's happened. So one doctor said maybe one should be removed and the other ones you shouldn't touch. So now the doctor removed the one third of his lung a couple of years ago, and he's okay for so far right now.
So right now he has no cancer, or
no? I think he has cancer.
He does.
He does.
Ah.
One of I don't know, left or right, I forgot, but he has cancer. That's from the first cancer was on the what's called on the uchimomo, mm-hmm. near the kokansetsu. What's called
his inner thigh.
Thigh. Mm-hmm. So when the doctor. Before the surgery, doctor said that because the position, even though the surgery went well, he may be not able to have a children because cut some kind of nerve or blood, I don't know. You cannot, erect it.
Mm-hmm.
But everything went well.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So he has three children.
That's amazing. Wow.
Doctor said the longest cases was like 17 years. Doctor found the cancer on the person's toe and amputated, and then 14 or 17 years, and it spread to the body and die.
Oh.
Usually like couple months or half month, 3 to 6 months, most of the cases. I think it was 18 cases in Japan or in the world, I forgot. Pretty rare at the time. So epithelial is a sarcoma.
Skin cancer.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Skin cancer on the inner thigh.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
He went to a doctor half a year ago, and doctor said, oh, maybe nothing. And half a year later he went to the other doctor, and oh, too late. Sorry, something like that. I think the more grew.
It's a tumor.
Mm-hmm.
Tumor. I think, he went to a doctor for some reason, and the doctor said it's too late. The doctor called a parent with skin cancer, and the doctor admitted that you don't want to tell him straight, you really bad. But skin cancer is, there's many possibility to survive, and there's still cancer, so parents will be shocked, so come to see the doctor. But my parents send auntie, because they're busy or not, and also auntie knows. My brother live in Tokyo, and my mother didn't know anything with Tokyo, but auntie used to live in Tokyo. So auntie went, the auntie heard from a doctor. Auntie shared to my parents. It's kind of white lie to shock our parents when first time. And I was told he planned to join the Honolulu Marathon with his friends and planned to stay at Honolulu Church. He asked previous head minister Yoshino Sensei if they can stay at Honolulu Church, so that he gotta go to Honolulu. But because his friends are all nothing related to Konkokyo or Honolulu Church, my brother asked me if I can go instead of him. I said, no, I don't want. So everybody mad at me. But I have a reason, because if I accept his request, I feel like I have to face the reality that he might die. So I kind of run away the situation. But eventually I say, okay, I don't know anybody, his friends. I met his friends at the Narita Airport, I think, first time. And he didn't tell what's happened to him. He just told them that I broke my legs for accident. But they told me that, oh, it's too bad he got accident, broken legs. It's the kind of, you joined Honolulu Marathon, you have to be very careful. And I went with them. I didn't join the marathon, but I kind of coordinate.
How many of his friends did you go with?
I think two or three. I forgot. Two or three. Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty heavy.
But still alive, we could say it was a blessing for whole family. Yeah, I became a minister because of that. And my brother told me that, not told me, but he taught at the entrance examination for the seminary, Konkokyo Gakuin Seminary. There's an interview, and they asked why you want to be a minister. And my brother answered that my big brother changed after the seminary. So that's one of the reasons he pray for me, and that helps me, something like that. And the one who interviewed him told me that the sensei told me that one of the reasons he shared to interview. So that was interesting, that his illness was a turning point for me. But because of that, I became entered the seminary, and that's turning point for him to be a minister.
Mm-hmm.
I was pretty bad big brother for him, but that bad brother prayed for me. Wow, you know, kind of feeling he had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a Konko teaching, founder's teaching, that says extremely good people or extremely bad people are the ones that can receive divine blessings. Those in between or mediocre people cannot receive blessings because of their lack of devoutness. So I'm funny. You must have been really bad, Koichi Sensei.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I think I was really bad person when I was young. I didn't recognize that. I thought I was a mediocre person.
Oh, that's good that your brother was okay. He's still alive.
Yeah, he have to go to annual checkup So far. And so far, okay.
So how old was he when he was first diagnosed?
I think 21 or 22, right before graduate. He have to write the graduate, what's called a 論文, 卒業 論文.
Thesis, right.
Thesis to graduate. And he was not able to write. Yeah, he was hospitalized. It's a December, and I think deadline was February or something. So my father helped, actually.
Mm-hmm.
He thought how he can, my father want him to graduate at least. He could die, but at least he can graduate college. Mm-hmm. And I think my father helped him, just copy or whatever, just send something before the due date, deadline, before the deadline, and note that I'm sorry that I am this condition, I wasn't able to write, but if you can extend the deadline, I do my best kind of thing. And the professor told him that you should take care of your body first, and I can wait, you know, something like that. So he was able to graduate after he discharged from the hospital.
Mm.
So I think my parents really went through a lot. I didn't want to see my brother. When I went to see him first time at the hospital, he was okay. You know, he played tennis. He got suntan, very healthy, looks still healthy, even though he has illness. But after he got surgery, you know, became weaker and weaker. Yeah. I don't want to see that. So I kind of stopped. I used to live in Fukuoka Magi at the time, and then my brother, the hospital was Tokyo, but since the serious condition, doctor recommend to go to the bigger hospital and chose the Kurashiki hospital. Mm. It's pretty good hospital nearby
Okayama.
In Okayama, nearby our hometown, Konko. Mm. So parents was able to visit him, and I was able to visit him when back to home, but I don't want to see him. I don't want to see that he became weaker and weaker, pale and skinnier.
Mm. Yeah, that must have been hard to see.
Especially if it's your own family, yeah, it's really hard.
Mm. I think my father went to a pretty big experience. So when look back his life, he passed away when he got cancer, and I didn't know about he said that I cannot pray for myself to Kamisama because I make so many requests and everything went through God blessing. I cannot ask anymore. Going, my youngest brother was born, he has a problem. He was almost died. He wasn't able to breathe well, a lung problem. And the nurse have to help her to breathe. Something like, I was like 6 years old, so I didn't know exactly what happened. But he prayed so hard. And also his sister, younger sister, got lung cancer, and she recovered well. And other sister got the cancer too. Before that, my brother got cancer, and the other auntie got cancer too. And all recover, yeah, except my father. My father died from cancer. The only difference was my father's prayer. I figure out my father prayed for my youngest brother when he was born. He prayed for my brother, younger brother, and my two aunties. But if he was true, he didn't pray for him. But I think he emailed me that this condition, so please, tanomimasu, please pray for me, something like that, I think. So I feel like I failed his test that I was a minister, my younger brother the minister, and our prayer was not strong enough. I feel that way. And that's his final test. I failed. But I don't want to fail, yeah? I don't want to fail anymore. But it was a big lesson for us. Because I failed, you know, he will be okay because my brother was okay, my two aunties were okay. He should be okay, you know, kind of feeling I had, to be honest. But he actually died before doctor the expectation. I think doctor said half year, no, like 1 year, I forgot. But he died in 5 months, oh, no, 6 months. Yeah, 6 months. Usually, you know, you minister, you religious supposed to be extend usually doctors say only half year, maybe 2 years, maybe 1 year. How come shorter than doctor's expectation? I kind of confused. Yeah. My father's death could be another turning point for us, for family.
When you say his death was a turning point, what do you mean by that?
We have to be changed too. I think became one. Our brothers, mother, we feel like a strong family. We lose the core, but actually we became stronger. I feel that way. We have to support each other. We have a strong core, so we depend on him, but we have to be stronger. We have to be our best to make him happy as a Mitama spirit.
Right.
I strongly felt when he passed away, I live in Hawaii, and my younger brother live in Nagano, and we physically far from our hometown, but he can go anywhere. After he passed away, he lost his physical body. He can go anywhere. So I feel like closer than before. He doesn't have any physical form, but as a spiritual form, he can go anywhere.
Yeah, so he's doing his work as a Mitama spirit to bring all of you guys closer.
Yes, and I feel my father want to be a good helper for Konko-sama, I think. And because Konko-sama have to serve as a Konko-sama, so he cannot do anything else. So my father was a Boy Scout, what's called a Boy Scout, a chairperson in Okayama Prefecture region, and also the head of the like a Sunday school program in headquarters, and working for the Research Institute, Konkoki Research Institute, so a study about Konko-sama, and they took over the Konko Library as a head director, and that's found by a fourth Konko-sama, and so he want to help Konko-sama. So as a family, we like to take over that as where we are. We do our best to help Konko-sama. I'm here in Hawaii, so I work for Konko-sama from here. My brother is in Nagano, and my youngest one took over the family head right now. And so working at Gohonbu headquarters, working for the worship hall. So we are the three, and I have one more sister. So she's working for Goshimai Chosetsu, making Goshimai right now. My mother used to be, but I think she retired. So just the four siblings, we try to do what he could do before, as he was. I think he was a good helper for Konko-sama. That's my feeling. And since you're quiet today,
I'm just listening. Wow, it's a really heavy topic, you know? What a turning point. Your turning points are pretty heavy. I was kind of raised where we don't get turning points. So I listen to my parents all the time. And I know people like to rebel against their parents, but I was more like, you know what? They are older than me. So what they are recommending for me is probably a good choice. Or, you know, they probably are encouraging me to do certain things because it's really going to help me out. So I really haven't gone against my parents' words. Like even now, I'm going to be 40 this year, but I still listen to my parents, even if they tell me, okay, do this, you should do this. They suggest things to me and I do it and it's better, you know, like, oh, my decision wouldn't have been better. So I pretty much led a life where I don't need to experience a turning point because my parents have always taught me, you know, the more better way, the more intelligent way, wiser choice. So I'm really grateful for that. Because some people, they need like a wake-up call. But my parents have been always waking me up. I've been awakened almost every day. So every day is kind of like a turning point for me.
Mm.
I always talk about the faith with my parents. So since when I was really small to this age, we always talk about the faith. So in that process, you know, like slowly, things are sinking in and kind of conform to the shape of the faith, Honkokyo. By doing so, I happy and very blessed.
Usually a turning point is the point to change the direction. So maybe you just go in the right direction. So you have a turning point, but maybe it's kind of minor, gentle version.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like braces, you know? Slowly, slowly, slowly making the crooked teeth straight.
Mm.
Yeah. Whereas some of us need a punch in the face too.
You know how like a single drop of rain or like the rain from the gutter drops onto like a concrete pavement and it bore a hole, mm-hmm. you know, a pretty deep hole, you know, it's at least a centimeter deep from the constant small drops of rain over years, over years, over years. So kind of like that, like my parents teaching me about Konkokyo almost every day for years and years and years and years. It kind of really, it shapes me into the ideal way of life where I really don't have to, you know, get a punch in the face to be awoken. Yeah, I can really begin to understand the grateful nature of Kamisama without having to go through crises and just give thanks daily for really the really regular mundane things that happen in my daily life. Like even the sun just rising, I try to face the sun and I say, thank you very much. Good morning. I go to bed. I say, thank you for this day. It was a good day. Nothing crazy happened. I'm alive. I have a place to stay. Supportive people in my life. And so many blessings. And just do that on a daily basis, you know? They taught me. My parents have taught me to do that. I just learned to incorporate it into my life. And my life is really enriched by doing that. Really blessed.
I think Kamisama guide us where we should go. So sometimes it's good to run away because the Kamisama prepare for you for our growth, spiritual growth. So we thought it's running away from something, but actually Kamisama guiding us to right direction or light for better experience for our spiritual growth.
Yeah,
it's not to say one way is better than the other or anything. It's, I guess, depends on the person and how they're going to get their lessons in life. I guess everyone is different, but everyone will get their lesson one way or another is how I kind of feel about it. And, you know, I think there's pros and cons to both ways. If you, you know, from the beginning, if you're following the right path and you're paying attention to the little sign, the little drops of water, as Edna was saying, or you go through life and you kind of ignore those little signs. And then so Kamisama has to suddenly say, okay, enough, give you a little bit of bigger sign. And still you don't want to listen, then even bigger sign. But some way, you know, one way or another, you're going to get it. And it just kind of depends on the person. Awkward sign.
Hey, thank you very much. I think I talk a lot today. And time has come. So we need to end today's session. But thank you very much, Amy and Edna. I hope you enjoy.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. So I hope to see you next time. Thank you. Mata aimashou. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.